Welcome to ITB Berlin's Travel Hero podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Lamp-Davies, with management consultancy A Bright Approach. Today, our travel hero is Ben Page, CEO of Ipsos, a global leader in market research. A very warm welcome to you, Ben.
Good morning, Charlotte.
Thanks for being with us today. In the podcast today, we're going to be diving into the recent Ipsos Global Trends report and talk about findings of interest, of course, to the travel sector. But before we dive in, I'd like you, Ben, to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you landed at Ipsos.
Gosh, well, I've been there for 37 years, so it's a long story. I studied history at university, and I didn't know what I wanted to do when I graduated. I used to run a nightclub at university, and I thought I would move to London and run my nightclub and have a great time, and it turned out to be a bit more difficult. So I took the first job I could find, which was interviewing people on the telephone. And after about 6 months, I joined a graduate training scheme. We had 40 people in the company. And 37 years later, we have 20,000 people in the company, and I'm the global chief executive. So none of that was ever expected, which is a reminder that life is full of surprises and a lot of luck.
Yes, indeed. But the fact is, you did actually start out in hospitality with that nightclub of yours. So that's true. It's only fair that you have come and talked to us here at ITB Berlin, which is, of course, all about travel. How about maybe you start by talking us through the Ipsos Global Trends report so that our audience can get an idea of how this came about and maybe put a little bit of emphasis on the report, sort of looking at it from a travel perspective.
So this is a piece of work that we do every year, sometimes in more depth, sometimes in a bit less depth. But this year's edition covers 50 countries, 5 million data points. And what we're trying to do is go beyond the surface stuff and look at how human societies and behaviours and concerns are evolving, not just around, you know, how people do their shopping or even how they choose a particular airline, but looking at things in full. So people as parents, consumers, patients. And what we do with the 5 million data points, there's hundreds of questions, is then identify the macro forces, so things like climate change or like AI, that are driving change across the world and that affect everybody. And then we look at shifts that we can see in human societies, and then signals. A signal of change might be, for example, something that you just notice when you're traveling. So I've just been very struck recently by the I Prove Me system that Eurostar are using. I'm a man who commutes between London and Paris on a weekly basis. And now, of course, I don't have to show my passport when I leave the UK. I don't even have to show my ticket. My face lets me just walk straight through all the security until I get to the French border. And that's a signal of change and of technology, and of Brexit, actually, to an extent. But of course, it's at the surface level. So what we're measuring in global trends is some of these shifts underneath that. So talking about things like nouveau nihilism, the idea of a, you know, in some quarters, brat style, which is word of the year in the Collins Dictionary this year, but is also nouveau nihilism is also just, you know, deciding I'm not going to try and be careerist. I just want to chill out and enjoy myself because it's all too difficult. We've got the retreat to old systems. This in the face of an uncertain future, people want authenticity. They want to go back to the past. So there's a whole load of these trends that you can tap into to understand how your brand and your experiences that you're offering people, which of course is hugely important in travel and hospitality, can fit in with how consumers are feeling and how they're changing.
It's fabulously broad, and really I would recommend anybody to download the report after listening to us today, and I'm sure we will be sharing that on social media as well. Specifically, according to the report, how are changing societal values, if you like, such as sustainability, influencing travelers' choices?
Well, for example, one of the things that we've seen over the last decade is a rising global concern about mental health. And interestingly, in the latest report, we've now got as many people globally concerned about their mental health as their physical health. So most people on planet Earth, 62% of people on planet Earth, now want to lose weight. They don't usually manage it for a variety of reasons, but 6 out of 10 people on the planet on average want to lose weight, which is a fascinating thing when within my lifetime we were worried about people starving to death. And indeed, in a few parts of Africa, they might still do that. But overall, obesity is a bigger problem. But then interestingly, more recently, after the pandemic, mental health concerns globally now outstrip all concern about heart disease or cancer, which are the two big killers. If you're in the travel business, how do you help people address their need for calm, their concern about their mental health? Do you play meditations on flights? Do you make sure that the music in your hotel is relaxing or that people can take those choices? So I think that's one example of them. The other one is when the world is incredibly uncertain, as it is today, often, you know, people want to feel that they can control things. So one of the trends we've identified is the escape to individualism. You may not be able to stop war in the Middle East. You may not be able to stop climate change. You can try and do the right thing, but you can at least make some changes in your own life and look after yourself. And that, and then brands of all kinds can try and respond to that by letting people, you know, and in fact, in my own country, as you can tell from my accent, I'm British. One of the most successful slogans in the last decades has been "Take Back Control," which, of course, was behind the Brexit vote in 2016. It's a very amorphous phrase. What exactly does it mean? But of course, what it taps into is this need for feeling in control. So how, again, do you let people do that? Maybe they can control the temperature in their room more easily. Maybe they can have some more choices about what's available to them. I stayed at a hotel in Paris recently where I was asked in advance what I would like to be in the minibar. And with AI coming, of course, maybe I'll let them look at my Instagram feed and my Facebook feed, and they can see which brands I like, which brands I follow. And then they can, from that, make sure that they've got just the right type of whiskey that I enjoy available in my minibar. Why not?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, this is a particularly big topic for ICB Berlin. We have an entire track dedicated to talk about how the technology is helping enhance the customer experience. Is there anything additional that you might be able to add here, again, looking at it from a travel perspective?
Of course. And I think the balance is this. Obviously, the need for security is huge in international travel. But at the same time, how do you take out friction? All of us have been in long queues to go through scanners at various times and at various places, and have probably thought, you know what, I think the terrorists might have actually won in some ways, because if you compare it to our parents' experiences in the 1970s, it's not joyous. But I think what AI offers, of course, is this ability to take out friction. So again, who knows if we'll move to just completely AI-based facial recognition to travel. You know, when you travel in China, and I see my Chinese colleagues just showing their faces to walk through security systems, to go onto planes and trains. It's amazing. But the other thing about AI, I would say, is this ability to find data that previously was pretty much hidden. So things that we can do now allow us to search through billions of posts on social media in a matter of seconds that previously would have taken hours or weeks, and from them identify signals about what people are interested in. And so I could see, you know, me loading, allowing somebody to have access to every single photo, my 40,000 holiday photos that I've taken over the last 20 years. And from that, of course, starting to understand the types of places and but not only places, but also experiences that I like. And from that, doing a much better, sort of more imaginative, curated trip, but in a way that previously would have required a very specialist travel advisor, and now actually can be offered at a much lower cost. And it might help with over tourism, because rather than me doing all the obvious things when I go somewhere, it would actually say, actually, you know what, Ben, I can see that you really love cooking. And actually, why don't you go and on this very, why don't you, instead of going to see the usual monuments, why don't you go on this particular trip here?
Yeah, and we're really seeing this as a major pickup, as it happened on the last podcast. We had Shannon Stowell from ATTA on here, where we talked about adventure travel, and this, what you've just mentioned now, feeds into that very, very well. And be very specific in your offering to your clientele as well. That's obviously where AI is helping, as well as in a lot of other areas. Maybe talk us through a little bit, go back a little bit again, and talk us through the role travel brands could and should play in addressing these societal issues. I'd like to just dive into the sort of whole sustainability area. We know it's all about transparency. We know people want to do better. We know they want to be more conscious when they book their travel, or indeed when they buy whatever they might be out buying. And greenwashing, of course, is a big topic as well. But how can travel brands actually address this and avoid the whole conversation around greenwashing?
I mean, I think, first of all, don't claim that you're a carbon-free airline when you're clearly not. And there have been a number of travel providers who've been called out by national advertising standards authorities recently over some of their claims. I think the difficulty here is that human beings all suffer from something called cognitive polyphasia. And cognitive polyphasia is a posh way of saying that you're able to hold conflicting ideas at the same time without experiencing any dissonance. An example of that is that, you know, we all say that one of the things that everybody on the planet pretty much agrees on is that we're heading for environmental disaster if we don't change our habits. So we all agree on that. But at the same time, when you ask people, are they planning to travel more or less? There's billions of people who want to travel more. There's billions of people who want to experience life in a different country. And so at the moment of what shall I do this summer, the desire to go and actually get away and have a change and have some new experiences beats your concern about the environment. And the way round it, of course, is that human beings in this case want brands and government to do the hard work. So they want laws that force, well, some of the taxes that have been introduced on air travel, the governments haven't been voted out in most cases who introduced that. So, you know, environmental taxes, pushing by regulation people to use, you know, more environmentally friendly aircraft, more environmentally friendly. It's these types of things. They want government and brands to do the heavy lifting. If you can make them feel good at the same time, then, you know, you will have an advantage. But ultimately, I'm afraid, as low-cost airlines have shown us, which have been part of the explosion in travel in the last 40 years, people want to travel and they will accept restrictions imposed by government. I mean, there are extreme ideas, of course, like, you know, you're allowed 5 long distance flights in your lifetime that some people will come up with, and, you know, and therefore you will go to Asia for 3 months, 5 times or something if you're in a European. But at the moment, not much sign of that happening. So I think it's about making it, taking out friction, but also making it easier for people to try and do the right thing.
January, it's ahead of us. It's the busiest month of the year for booking travel. And I'm wondering what the report is telling us in terms of how we make the most of January's high engagement, you know, to attract more customers to sort of all the different travel categories, if it was showing any of that.
Yes, January is the time to make sure your digital app, you know, is absolutely at its, peak performance. In the report, we look at things like day of the week, when people are going to be visiting online travel agents, the fact that women are doing a lot, you know, basically in most households where a man and a woman or, you know, whoever, whatever, living together, the woman is going to be doing more of the work. Now, as we know, women generally do more work at home than men. They do about 60 to 70% of all domestic work all over the world, but it includes travel booking. So I think, you know, looking at online travel agents, they are absolutely key. And how you will, if you're a hotel, if you're an airline, will work with those is really important. They get more views. They are absolutely there. People like booking.com, you know, massively more. I'm just looking at some of the data in the report, you know, twice as many visits as EasyJet, nearly 3 times as many visits as British Airways website. How do you fix in with some of these other, with these brands in terms of your offering? And also, of course, you can, you know, if you look at the report, you can see, you know, the Airbnb has got a younger audience. You can see people like British Airways and Hilton getting higher income, older audiences. So you can really look at the data now lets you understand exactly who is looking at your website and thinking about the things that they're interested in. and linking that to other data.
I think, you know, the report also specifically gives you insight into how you can tailor your social media strategies, which is really what you're touching on now, to reach the right people on the right platform at the right time. And you really do need to engage in that area in order to attract more visitors and ultimately, I guess, more bookings to your site.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and it's really interesting looking at a low-cost airline, for example. They're getting a lot of, you know, you can see that they're getting much more interest from people who use things like Pinterest and Snapchat. And then you compare that with an established airline like British Airways, a very, very different profile. In fact, Snapchat's pretty much irrelevant to British Airways. They need to be on Instagram and Twitter, interestingly. So understanding your audience and where they're coming from is hugely important if you want to try and maximize your chances, quite frankly. And I think, but also thinking about who your natural partners might be, if you're an airline, if you're a hotel brand.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a couple of more tips on how brands with these very unique audiences can maybe better connect and, I would say, grow these loyal customer bases of theirs. That's always very insightful, of course.
Yes. Well, I think one of the things that's key is that you've now got this, and it's a real challenge for marketeers, and I understand it, because you've just got so many different opportunities. You've got all this real-time feedback that you can build. You've got your own first-party data, which now gives you much more information than ever before. And, of course, you've got your own direct, whatever you're going to be spending your dollars and pounds and euros on in terms of your marketing. You know, you've got all these choices between advertising, between programmatic and targeted work, and of course influencers, who we haven't talked about yet, who are becoming, they are almost, I see for many of the brands I work with, they're almost like a specialist media all of their own. I've seen big beauty brands, for example, having a dashboard with different types of influencers, not just ones with big audiences, but ones that might have a small but very dedicated, much more engaged audience, ones that are particularly respected in a particular, you know, in a particular area that has a good overspill into the thing that they're interested in. So really understanding all of that and spending time on it is becoming more and more important.
Yeah, the report, which I will refer to one more time, really gives you that insight. Thanks for sharing that with us. I think as we sort of slowly begin to wrap up, sadly, it'd be interesting for me to know, you've been in the business, as you say, for 30-something years, and research sort of is in your DNA. But which areas, if you are still surprised by things, which areas of the report this time surprised you the most? Maybe, again, looking at it from a travel perspective.
Well, I think there's two things. So one is the mental health trend that we've already discussed. I mean, although that's been building over the last decade. But the other thing is this, despite the cost of living crisis and despite all the pressures that people feel, people increasingly saying, and it's a very clear trend now over, after the last decade, and despite all this stuff about woke and non-woke and all of this and culture wars in our politics, more and more people say they want to buy from brands that reflect their values. And that's a clear upward trend across the world, actually. And so how do you, you know, people also say that they want brands to speak up on key issues, to take a stand. If I was a brand in the United States, we're speaking just before the American elections, I think I'd be quite careful because, of course, Americans are completely split down the middle between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. But there is a real desire that, you know, if you can offer a great product, but also show that you're on people's side, that seems undimmed even by all of the, you know, all of the financial pressures that people feel they're under. That surprised me.
Yeah, I think that's actually as good a place to finish our wonderful conversation today. Thank you, Ben, very much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, you've been a wonderful travel hero. And here at ITB Berlin, I can confirm yet again that we are always excited to highlight research which helps drive the sector forward. So, Ben, we hope to possibly hear from you live at the convention next year with more insights. Thanks again.
Thank you.
As always, thanks also to our audience for listening. You can find more Travel Hero podcasts on ITB's website. Join us soon again, and safe travels.